Hey, welcome into this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show, presented by your Front Range Toyota stores on 104.3 The Fan HD3, denverpioneers.com. We are in the beautiful 104.3 The Fan studios today and thrilled to be joined for a season preview conversation by the head coach of Pioneer Hockey, David Carl. DC, it's so good to see you, man. How are you? How was the summer?
I'm doing well, thank you. Summer was good. A lot of time with family. Didn't have the World Juniors this summer, so a little bit more time here in Denver, which was nice to focus on our team as well. And as we'll get into the 10 new freshmen and a lot of the turnover from last year to this year, but was a really good summer, but certainly looking forward to puck drop against UNLV on October 4th, and then ultimately our home opener on the 11th against Bentley.
It is crazy that we're already just a couple of weeks out from your exhibition matchup, as you mentioned, UNLV, and then the regular season kicking off in mid-October. You're into week three already of training camp. These first few weeks, tell us about the process of getting guys, you know, obviously on campus, getting your freshmen acclimated. You got 10 freshmen this year. What are these first few weeks of training camp like?
Yeah, I mean, their acclimation goes back to middle of June. So we bring our freshmen in on June 15th. They skate, train, take three classes in the summertime for 6 weeks from June 15 to July 31. And during that time, a lot of our returning players come back into town. We have our 2 weeks of hockey school, so a lot of the guys will work that in July. And they get to spend time with one another, get to know each other. So the hope is that when they come back this fall, they certainly know where the weight room is. They know the locker room. They know each other's faces. Makes it a little bit more comfortable for them to be able to, hit the ground running. And so, yeah, that was where it started. And now getting into camp with the whole team here, school starting, it just kind of ramps up a little bit more with practice and lifts. And then obviously it'll pick up to another gear once games start. So it's just a process. Really week to week to make sure that they're getting acclimated and feeling comfortable coming into this environment.
Well, let's talk about this class. You've got this year 10 freshmen coming in, and you know, I think a lot of people look at that and think it's a ton of new blood, a lot of newcomers, but you won a national championship in 2022 with 9 freshmen. You won in 2024 with 11 freshmen. So this is nothing new, obviously, for you guys in your program. Getting these guys mixed in, and this class specifically, tell us about this group and what you like about them.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of where our confidence level came in to bring in 10 of them. We've had a lot of success with, you know, younger teams. We've been a top five youngest team in the country the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. And the years we won, we were the second youngest team in the country. And so didn't really give us any pause with the group to bring in 10 freshmen. I think in today's environment and world, a lot of places probably would have brought in, you know, 3 to 5 transfers and then, you know, the 5 freshmen to try and get a little bit older. But I, you know, for us, we were really excited about these 10 guys. They've all had tremendous junior careers, kind of feels similar to the 22 freshman class in that, you know, we could have brought back a bunch of fifth year guys, but you know, we had the likes of Mazur and Booyam and Devine and Barons that really needed to come in. And that's no different with this group. It's a very accomplished group of 10 players starting in goal. Johnny Hicks and Quentin Miller come in with really good playoff experience and leading their teams into long playoff runs. And only one freshman defenseman, Eric Jamison, played in Everett last year, the Western Hockey League. And then 7 freshman forwards. There's a lot of new faces up front. 7 of 15 forwards are freshmen. I think another 3 of them or 4 of them are sophomores. So that's really where the youth in classes is on our team. But all of them, their compete level, their second and third effort, and then their hockey sense and their ability to make plays, you know, we've started to see in camp. And I think their learning curve into college hockey will be pretty fast.
You get 2 draft picks in with this group in Christian Epperson and Brendan McMorrow. And those are kind of the, you know, for the casual fans who are going to be looking at an incoming class, those are going to be the headliners. Tell us about those 2 guys.
Yeah, both of them drafted this summer. McMorrow, both forwards. Brendan from Upstate Minnesota has a lot of pace, had a really good year in the USHL, scored 20-plus goals. And then Epperson played in the OHL last year in Saginaw, had a wonderful season with them as well. He's from Milwaukee, so both Midwest kids that actually played for our U.S. national team the year prior. So the 06s, a lot of them went into college last year. These guys played a +1 year out of the NTDP in Saginaw and Waterloo, respectively, before coming in. And then I would also highlight that there are other drafted players in the class. In Clark Caswell is drafted by Seattle. Eric Jamieson is drafted by Calgary. Quentin Miller is drafted by Montreal as well. So not necessarily those are the two drafted this year in this summer's draft, and McMorrow and Epperson, but the class itself, I believe, boasts five NHL picks. I hope I'm not missing anybody. But when there's 10 of them, that's possible to do. If it comes to me, I'll correct myself.
Deal. When you mentioned guys who have gone through the National Team Development Program, this is a year in which you're not going to be coaching the World Juniors, but obviously the breadth of experience you've gotten winning a couple of World Juniors titles as a head coach the last 2 years, and your USA Hockey experience goes back a while. How do you feel like that experience for you as a head coach has helped enhance the things you do? You see a lot of talent, obviously, across the country. Maybe not players that you would necessarily just see being a head coach in college hockey. What has that added to you, you think, over the last few years, the way that you've been able to work with so much different talent across the country?
Yeah, I mean, it was a wonderful experience and opportunity to do it for the past 2 years, and feel very fortunate to have won the two gold medals in Sweden and in Ottawa. And I think working with that caliber of player, it forces you to think at a higher level as a coach, be even more prepared, more detailed, think more outside the box as to what, you know, the team needs from you as a coach in order to have success. And that's what I really enjoyed about it, was it pushed me to be better and learn and grow a lot. Conversely, like you said, get to know a lot about the player pool and, you know, many of the players in college already. So, you know, it's not like they're available to recruit per se. You know, so when you go into games, say against Providence, but you've coached Trevor Connolly or obviously the Boston College kids,
right?
There's been a lot made of how many of them there were over the last 2 years. You know some of their tendencies and can try and help educate some of your guys on maybe their, you know, particular tendencies and what they have going on. And, you know, and then the visibility, I think, for the program, for DU, you know, we can't get into names yet, but our 08 signing class that'll start to occur here in November. We have four players on the U18 NTDP team that committed to us last August, September timeframe. And I think, you know, we'd be foolish to think that the World Juniors didn't play a factor into Denver being on their radar and the success that we had, all the people on our staff and Zeev Bouyam being a huge part of the team as well. So it certainly, I think, it's made me better as a coach, and I think it's made our program better because of the visibility and the access to some of these high-end Americans.
All right, DC, when you are at this stage of the preseason, essentially, I guess it's more in season now, even though you're not officially playing games yet, week three of training camp, tell us what the process is like these first few weeks of kind of getting everybody together in a season-like practice format, installing things, getting your group used to the routine of what this is going to be like for the next several months. What is week three like, and what have the first couple weeks been like?
Yeah, I mean, it's... NCAA rules still limit what we can and can't do. So we're in an 8-hour work week right now, really. They can have 4 hours of off-ice time that's required, and they can have 4 hours of on-ice time that's required. And so we are limited in what we can do. And so most days or most weeks we're doing 4 days on ice, and we'll take one day off. So today is Wednesday, the 24th of September, where actually today is an off day for us. So the guys will only lift. They won't get on the ice. So this week we're skating Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Ice is still available for them if they want to hop out there, but there's no requirement and coaches aren't out there. The first week is really, I would say, about trying to, you know, just compete and get the battle level up to a high level. You know, again, everything ramps up, right? So they're training hard with Matt Shaw in the weight room, but then you add in on ice and it's a different level of conditioning that you need. And that starts to normalize into week two. And now you start maybe plugging in some wider, broader systems, start getting into special teams. And that's really where we're at today here in week three, is just trying to circle back, hit some of those items again, so that they're starting to become hopefully second nature to the players, especially the young players. Repetition is important. All the practices are videoed. They're tagged by our staff, so they can go in, they can watch, they can teach. So a day like today, we'll spend, you know, each staff member will spend, you know, 20 minutes with three different players just going over their clips from last week and this week of, you know, things that we're trying to teach. And then you fast forward into next week, you try and replicate what is a real game week. We get into our full 20-hour week, so we'll practice every day and we'll play on Saturday on the 4th against UNLV and try and, again, replicate what a game week looks like as we then prepare for Air Force on the road on the 10th and being at home against Bentley on the 11th.
I was going to pivot to our break, but you brought up something that I want to ask you about. The wealth of data and video and everything that's available now, even just from a practice standpoint, compared to when you came in as a freshman, got on the staff, or when you were playing, how different is it for athletes nowadays having all of this digestible information that you can go out and practice and then, you know, minutes or hours later, you can go look at what you did in practice. It's all tagged to you. The level of what coaching staffs have access to and what players have access to now is wild compared to, you know, when we were in college. What is that like as a head coach?
It's tools and resources that really are available to us as coaches and also, you know, available to the players, and how we use it, you know, really becomes a lot of personal preference, you know, program to program, staff to staff, but then player to player. You know, we have some guys, because again, practice is recorded. It's not necessarily tagged yet, but it'll be uploaded onto the server within 15 minutes of practice ending. And, you know, so they'll eat their meal at 3 o'clock. And then some of the guys, you'll see them hop right into the video room. They'll just go through, fast forward, and watch, you know, kind of their own reps from practice and get a visual sense of kind of how the day went. And, you know, again, for, I think we're working with an age of players that really likes that level of feedback for the most part. Have we seen it go too far? Yes. You know, so we do put in guardrails. Some places will, you know, allow all the video to go right to the players' devices so they can watch at home on, you know, phones, laptops, what have you, tablets. We don't do that. We like them to come into the video room, watch it there, try and limit what they do at home, because, you know, we've had kids who, you know, they've told us, I've watched the game back 3 times already. And it's like, well, that's maybe a little bit too much. Like, let's just sit here for 20 minutes. Let's go through your clips. Let's have a conversation. And, you know, you don't need to be staying up till 1 a.m. watching and, you know, overanalyzing every little thing that occurred in the game. So I think it's important to give the players some guardrails on it, but still, you know, not limit their full ability to access the information and to improve and get better, which I think we found that nice balance, I think, within how we do things.
That's what I do with my beer league games. Yeah. We have a guy who puts up a GoPro and I watch it until like 4 a.m, just seeing how bad I am at everything. He's the head coach of Pioneers Hockey, David Carl. We will step aside for a timeout, bring it on back after the break, preview a little bit more about this 2025-26 season and what the Pioneers have coming up ahead. It's all after the break as the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show, presented by your hometown Toyota stores, continues on 104.3 The Fan HD3.
Planning your financial future could be overwhelming and confusing. So let the experts at JFG Family Office help guide you to your financial goals. The team at JFG Family Office believes in increasing transparency, lowering fees, and striving to achieve better outcomes so you have peace of mind when it comes to all of your investing needs. Contact JFG Family Office at jfgfamilyoffice.com to get started on planning for your future.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Rolling along on 104.3 The Fan HD3, it's the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show, presented by your Front Range Toyota stores, and pleased to be joined by the head coach of Denver Pioneers Hockey, David Carl. DC, it is nearly time for a game week. As you noted, you get UNLV coming in for an exhibition matchup next week, October 4th. It's an interesting one because UNLV last year, as we know, it was a big headline. It's over the holiday break. It's an exhibition game, but they came to Denver and got a win. And that's a club team, and everybody made a massive deal out of that. It's a very different circumstance, obviously, especially in the middle of the season. But what was the reaction from your team to that? You're coming back from World Juniors. It was, right before the start of conference play, coming out of the holiday break. Now getting UNLV in here again, Is there anything else to this matchup that's like, all right, we're obviously not going to take this team lightly, but what else plays out coming out of a matchup like that last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the second time we'd played them. This will be our third time. So it's something that, you know, as everybody knows, we try and schedule some of these teams that we view maybe should or could have Division I hockey.
Yeah.
We did the same, you know, with Arizona State early on and trying to be one of the teams on their schedule. And they had already elevated to D1 at that time. But we wanted to make sure we were on their schedule. We play Anchorage, we play Fairbanks, these independent Division I teams. And then I think there's an opportunity when the rule changed to not necessarily have to play the Canadian college teams to try and find club teams that have an interest. So we've played UNLV, we've played Minot State. We try and pick teams that have won at their level and really have a lot of respect for UNLV and their staff. And obviously as an institution, it's a big time athletic department. And, you know, I think with the growth of Vegas and the Golden Knights, it's a market that could support college hockey. And so it's been important to us to play them. And so we're excited that they accepted an invitation to come back, you know, this year after their shootout victory last year and beating us. And, how did our team respond or handle that? I think they washed it away pretty quick. We had to turn the page. We went to Maine. We got a split up there and obviously had a wonderful second half to the season. And the publicity that it brought, I think if we're looking at the good, I mean, the publicity it brought to their program was a wonderful thing. And I guess my hope is that this matchup on October 4th draws even more eyeballs and attention from people online, people in their administration, donors of theirs. And, you know, I know our guys speaking just personally, yeah, they don't have a good taste in their mouth of what happened last year. And we'll be ready to use the game and to try and prepare us to get ready for Air Force and Bentley and all of that and see some different people, you know, in our lineup. And it's a matchup we're excited about. I would also say 2 years ago when we played them, it was the highest viewed NCHC TV game on the platform out of any of the games, us in North Dakota and Duluth. I mean, it was the Denver UNLV game that drew the most eyeballs. And so anyways, there's something to the matchup and we're excited to keep it going and to have them come into our building for an exhibition game on October 4th.
One of the things I've really admired about you over your years as a head coach is the desire to play teams like that, whether it's, you know, club teams that are up and coming could potentially be D1 teams or the D1 teams from Alaska that sort of need those big time matchups on the road. This time this season, you're going to see Bentley for the first time ever in program history, and you'll travel to Lindenwood, which is very cool. And you'll also hit the road to Air Force for the first time in a few years. This is a road heavy schedule to start the season.
Yeah, it is. And it's not necessarily road heavy throughout, but it is road heavy early. 10 of our first 15 on the road, going to some tough environments, like you said. But then, you know, we go out to Boston College, Northeastern. We open conference play out Western Michigan. I think we have ASU at ASU in the first half. We have our home and home with CC. And then, you know, we have the Ball Arena game against Minnesota. So there's a lot of kind of intrigue, and there's no bye weeks in the first half. So there's hockey every weekend once we get going next weekend. So I think our guys are really excited about that. I hope and know that our fans are as well. And to get on the road with a really young team, I think that will be a good thing for us to kind of learn, take some lumps on the road and figure it out. Maybe away from Magnus will be a good thing. Just get the team fully around each other and immerse in one another will be a good thing for us. And like I said, we're looking forward to getting it going.
All right, DC, final few points for you as we get set to wrap up the season preview episode. Your goaltending situation this year, you've got one returner in Paxton Geisel. You mentioned your couple of freshmen who are coming in. You're replacing a legend in Matt Davis, a guy who put himself, you know, in sort of the hallowed halls of Denver hockey history with his performance, especially in the tournament in 2024, but just a really steady performer over his couple of years as a starter. He sort of replaced somebody like that as well in Magnus Crona. And so you've had that strength-to-strength transition over the last few years. What does the goaltending situation look like for this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little bit maybe more unknown than it has been. And it's easy to say it was known, you know, when Maddie was a junior, you know, because of how it turned out. But even coming into that year, there was a lot of question marks on, you know, how are we going to replace Crona, won a national championship. And, you know, Maddie relatively unproven. I think he had maybe, you know, 10 to 14 college starts, and you know, he did a wonderful job before he got injured, and then, you know, the second half of the season is kind of in folklore now, and he set a record or tied Ken Dryden, who just sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago, but tied Ken Dryden for the best save percentage in the Frozen Four, and only allowed 3 goals in the whole NCAA tournament. So, you know, coming into the year, we're very focused on the 3 guys we have. Paxson has had some injuries over the past couple of years, but he's hungry to try and showcase himself. And like I said, Johnny Hicks started the year in Brooks in the AJHL and got called up, went to Victoria. Really was a reason why they made it as far as they did in the playoffs. When he had an injury, the wheels kind of came off for them. And then Quentin Miller, again, dealt with injuries to start the season, ends up in Chilliwack of the BCHL, you know, got his game count up to, I think, 30 to 35 games between regular season and postseason, took him to the BCHL finals, really had an excellent playoff run. So I think both those guys come in with some confidence, and we're evaluating them through camp. The one thing I would note is Ryan Massa does a lot more than the goaltenders for us, but one of the best, if not the best, goaltending mind in the country. What he's done with Magnus and Maddie, we have a lot of confidence in his ability to work with Pax and Johnny and Quentin and make sure that we're solid and firmed up in goal.
You've also won 30-plus games every season with Ryan Massa on the staff, which is not a coincidence either. And for you guys now, you lean onto some veterans who are heading into a senior year, a junior year. You know, guys who we've talked about, the newcomers, but you've got 2 NCHC preseason selections in Sam Harris and Eric Polkamp. Your veteran guys who are coming back, Rieger Lorenz and Samu Salminen and Kenny Anderson. What do you like about this veteran group? They've been through the battles. They won a national championship in a lot of cases. You've got 9 players still on the roster from that 2024 team. What do the veterans add for your group?
Yeah, just that. You know, you hope the experience and the guidance of, you know, what it takes. They've walked through the shoes of the freshmen, and I think that's the important part of the, you know, you talk about this transfer, non-transfer thing too. And obviously we have 2 on our roster, and Samu and Eric, but we had a prior history to both those players as people and players. And, you know, to have 4-year guys in the program, 3-year guys in the program, to be able to help guide some of the freshmen, I think is going to be critical to our success. And they're wonderful kids. You know, you mentioned a lot of them, but Rieger and Boston and Kent and Sam Harris, you know, we're going to lean on Cale Ashcroft. We're going to lean on those guys a lot to kind of help and guide and show these young kids the way.
Well, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. October 4th, the Pioneers and UNLV in an exhibition game at Magnus Arena. The next week, DU will be on the road at Air Force on October 10th, home to Bentley on October 11th. And he is the head coach of the Denver Pioneers, David Carl. DC, I came in, it was like 5 minutes ago, it was summer. This week, it's been rainy and cold, so now I'm ready for a puck drop, ready to get this thing going.
Me too. I'm happy the hot weather's over.
So ready to go. Pioneers Coaches Show wrapping up. Head coach of the Denver Pioneers, legendary hockey program, David Carl. My name is Tyler Mond. We'll talk to you next time on 104.3 The Fan HD3.